the message, Lord, to be able to learn from it, to be challenged by it, Lord, that we would be attentive hearers, Lord, that we would seek to apply the things in our lives. Lord, I pray you'd help me to say the things you would have me to say, Lord, to say it in the way that you would like me to say it. In your precious name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, we're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and like we talked about already, next Sunday, we're going to be taking a special offering for the new building. I hope you're excited about the new building.
Amen.
I hope you're excited about the future of Verity Baptist Church. You may say, Pastor Jimenez, are you afraid to go into the new building? We may be going in on February 2nd on Super Bowl Sunday. You know, are you afraid? You know, I'm praying that the 49ers lose today, and then I don't have to worry about it. You know, so yeah, you want to give people an excuse to miss church? So you really don't care about sports. I really could not care less. I didn't know the 49ers were playing until last night. So, but you know, next Sunday we're going to be taking an offering to go ahead and go into this new building. And you know, a lot of churches, they ask for money, but they don't really teach people the role. And what I want to, as quickly as possible, I know some of you need to get to some parties or something, but I want to, as quickly as possible, just go through and explain to you and teach you the role of giving, the role that giving takes in the life of a Christian. And it's an interesting thing as you study it through. And if you should have your insert there, if you want to take some notes on the course of the week, on the back there, there's some a place for you to take notes. And maybe you can take notes, study this out on your own when you get some time. But I want you to understand a few things about giving in the Christian life. Number one, the role of giving, the role that giving plays in your Christian life, you need to understand a few things, okay? Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Look at verse 1 again, all right? Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." Okay, the Apostle Paul there is talking about the fact that he's going to be receiving a gift that he's going to be taking to the church in Jerusalem. Look at verse 5. "And this they did, not as we hope." Now look what it says. "But first," look what it says, "gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You need to understand this. When you give to God, you got to understand this. Giving proves your love. And before someone can give financially to God, they really have to give of themselves to God. The Apostle Paul there is talking about these people that were going to give a financial gift. But he says before they gave it, he says first they had given of their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Look at verse 6. "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Look at verse 8. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others." Look what it says. "And to prove the sincerity of your" what? "Love." See, Paul is teaching these people, if you're going to give, if you're going to financially give a special offering or give a gift, he says you need to first give of yourself to God. And when you give of yourself to God, then you'll give of your finances to God. He says when you give of your finances to God, you're going to prove the sincerity of your love. You need to understand this about giving. Now keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And go with me to the Old Testament book of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 3. And look at verse number 8. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Malachi 3:8. The Bible, and I won't take the time to go through the entire passage. Malachi teaches on the subject of tithing, but I want you to understand, in Malachi chapter number 3, verse 8, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God?" And it's talking about stealing from God. He says, "Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Now notice what God says. In tithes and offerings. Now you got to understand this, okay? God expects you to tithe And God expects yes. you to give of your. You say, well, God wants me to give him of my money. That's where your mind is not correct. You got to understand this. It's not your money. It's God's money.
Right.
Bible says that God is the one that gives you the ability to get well. Right. Anything that you have is because God gave it to you. You see, you got to understand this concept. It's not I have 100% and God wants me to give him 10%. Is God has 100% and he's allowing you to keep 90%.
Amen.
It belongs to God. And God says when you withhold your tithe from him, he said you're robbing from me. Do you see that? I'm like, I didn't go through and insert that in your Bible. That's what God said.
Right.
Well, a man robbed God, you robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed thee? Now, you got to understand this, okay? Notice how we've robbed God. In tithes and offerings. You say, what's the difference between a tithe and an offering? Well, the word tithe means 10%. God expects you to give to him 10% of what he has allowed you to make. And you say, well, why does God do that? I'm not preaching on tithing this morning, but you know, God does that. Number one, it allows us to be able, every time I write my tithe check, it allows me to realize, wow, this is how much God has allowed me to make, and this is how much God has provided for me. And it's a gift that I give back, but gift is the wrong word, because I'm paying my tithe. I owe it to God. Okay? But notice, he says, you robbed me in my tithe, but he says, you've also robbed me in my offerings. God expects both a tithe and an offering. You say, what is the difference? A tithe is 10%, this is what I owe God. An offering is then something that you give above your tithe.
That's right.
Now, you got to understand, you say, well, what's the difference? The tithe proves your obedience. When I write my tithe check to God, I prove to God I'm obedient. When you ask me to give you 10% of my income, then I can return that to you, and I prove that I am obedient to God. But here's what you understand. The offering proves my love. The tithe is what I'm obligated to do, 10%. But when I give above that, then I say, here, God, I love you more. I'm not just going to do what you ask me to do. I'm going to give more above that. And God says, see, God expects both tithes and offerings. He tells you how much the tithe should be. He doesn't tell you how much the offering. He just says, how much do you love me? You understand that? God expects both. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse number 24. And by the way, let me say this. You know, at Verity Baptist Church, we don't emphasize money. God doesn't emphasize money. We don't sell anything at Verity Baptist Church. Jesus Christ walked into the temple and threw the money changers' tables around. He said, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. We don't emphasize money. But let me tell you something. I'm also not ashamed to preach about money because the Bible talks about it. I'm not ashamed to preach about tithing. The Bible talks about it. I'm not ashamed to preach about offerings. The Bible talks about it. The sad thing is, when a man of God stands up and preaches about tithing, and you'd rather get more excited about some dumb football game that once it's done, do you understand that once the football game is done, once the Super Bowl is over, nothing will have happened in life. Nothing will have changed. Do you understand that? Once the game is done, life continues. It literally has done nothing for anyone in their life, but people will get up and spend thousands of dollars and cheer and take their shirt off and paint their faces and get so excited about a dumb game.
Amen.
And you preach about giving money to a church so it can reach people, so it can help families, so it can preach the gospel, so it can help people that are hurting, and then everybody's like, I was talking about money. Then you wonder why I pray that football games just get canceled. Our minds are messed up. Say, Pastor, do you hate me if I watch football? Look, I don't care if you watch football. You do whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you, there are some things more important in life than watching grown men play a little kid's game.
Amen.
Are you against football? No, I don't mind playing football with my kids. But you know, at some point, men have to grow up. Some of you need to show up to the Show Thyself a Man series and realize that life is more than a game. Yeah. Like, if somebody's paying me millions of dollars to play a football game, I play a football game. I'm not going to sit there and watch grown men play a little kid's game when there's things that need to be accomplished in their sight. There are things that God wants for us to do. There are people that are struggling in bondage and drugs and alcohol. There are marriages that need help. There are children that need help. There are people that need to hear the gospel. And this is what we're talking about.
Praise God.
Thank you. Amen.
If I got up here and talked about the football game this, the football game that, you'd all be cheering and laughing. And we talk about giving money, and everybody's like, Pastor, are you embarrassed about it? I'm not embarrassed about God.
Right.
You're ashamed about it? I'm not ashamed about it. Are you ashamed to ask people to give money? I'm not. First of all, I'm not asking you. You have a privilege to serve God. You have a privilege to invest into the kingdom of God. But look, I'm here to tell you, God expects both tithes and offerings. Well, I don't want to give my tithe and offering. Hey, we can still be friends. I'm not mad at you, but I'm telling you, God looks at you as someone who's stealing from him. Will a man rob God? People often say to me, well, Pastor, I don't make enough money to tithe. Here's what the funny thing about a tithe is. It's a percentage. You know what that means? No one's excluded. I don't have enough money to tithe. Did you make any money? Then you can tithe because you just have to give 10% of what you made. Well, all I made is a dollar this week. Then put your dime in the offering plate and say, God, I love you.
Man, that's right.
God, I'm obedient. All I made was $100. Then put $10 in the offering plate and say, God, I'm obedient to you. Right. See, I made $100,000. Then write the check out and give it to God because God expects it. Will a man rob God? Yeah, he have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes. But notice, God expects an offering. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Look at verse 24. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. She says, Paul says, go ahead and give your offering. You say, how am I going to? He says, prove your love. How am I going to prove it? Give your offering. See, here's the thing. You say, I love God. Look, I don't know how much time you spend in prayer. I don't really care. Now, I hope you're praying. I'll preach that you need to be praying. But that's between you and God. I don't know how much time you spend in Bible reading. I know this. Some of you think you're more faithful to your Bible reading than you really are. That's why it's good to have a chart. So you can look back at it and realize, wow, I thought I read my Bible more than this. 9 chapters a day, I'm still in Matthew. I used to have a chart for church attendance, where I kept track of my church attendance. Why? Because some of you are, you think you're more faithful to church than you really are. But you know what doesn't lie? Your checkbook. You know what doesn't lie? Your bank statement. You want to prove your love to God? Do it through finances, because that doesn't lie. Money doesn't lie. He says, the proof of your love is an offering. Now, look at verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 9. You got to understand this. The way you prove love is by giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
So how do you prove love? How did God prove love? For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave
his only begotten Son. See, you say, how do you prove love? You prove it through giving. How do you prove love to your girlfriend? You first start dating that girl and you're so excited. How do you prove love? You give her gifts. That's how you prove love, through giving. Giving time, giving financially, giving gifts. I want you to understand, an offering, a giving opportunity to prove your love. Secondly, let me show you. Keep your finger there and we're going to come back to 1 and 2 Corinthians. So put your bulletin there or something. But go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 15. Giving is an opportunity to prove your love. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 15. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 15. Giving is also an investment into spiritual things. Giving is an investment into spiritual things. Look what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Here the Apostle Paul is talking to another church about an offering. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, what he says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17. Not because I desired a gift. Now notice what Paul says here. But I desired fruit that may abound to your account. Here's what the Apostle Paul was saying. When you financially give to my ministry, Paul was saying, then when I go out and get people saved, in heaven you'll get that fruit that I got saved because you supported me. He said, you are investing into the ministry. Now, I'm here to tell you, when you give to Berry Baptist Church, you are investing in the ministry of this church. And when we go out and get people saved, and when we go out and get people baptized, and when we go out and teach the Bible to people, and we help them become better and love God and develop a relationship with God and start walking with God and their marriages get healed and their children get raised right, and we start making a difference in the community, what you're doing is you're investing in the kingdom of God. And that will give you better results than any 401k or IRA that you can think of. Some of you need to stop worrying so much about the stock market, start worrying about the soul winning. Because when you invest in the kingdom, look, anything of this earth, dust and moth, doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. But when you invest into heaven, guess what? It's for eternity. So
So giving is a proof of your love, number one. Giving is an investment in spiritual things. That's the role of giving in your life. Okay? But you got to understand this too. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There is not only a role that giving plays in the Christian life. Okay, what is that role?
It invests into the Christian life. It invests into the gospel. It invests into the ministry. It proves your love.
You got to understand this though.
There is a role that the Christian plays in giving. There is a role that you play in giving. You say, what is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, these people did not have it easy. They were going through some stuff. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, do you see that? These were not rich people. Abounded unto the riches of, make note of this word, liberality. You know what the word liberality means in the context of money here? He says their generosity. These people were willing to give. And here's what you need to understand, okay? Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, I want you to make note of this, they were willing of themselves. The role that the Christian plays in the art of giving is that you need to be giving willingly with a good attitude. Go to chapter 9, look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Just turn a page over. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Look what the Bible says here. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Know what it says? Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me just be very honest with you. As the pastor of Eddie Baptist Church, and I hope you understand the spirit from which I'm going to make the statement. But if you're going to give an offering next week, and you're going to do it with a bad attitude, you're going to walk out of here and say, that pastor, he preached that sermon, and he made me feel like I had to give. And then, look, keep your money. Honestly, keep your money. So, well, what if we're not able to raise the $10,000? I'd rather not raise the $10,000. I'd rather not go into the new building than to have somebody give towards the kingdom of God with a bad attitude.
Right.
I mean that.
Okay, I'll talk it out.
Honestly, you know, if you want to have a bad attitude about it, honestly, keep your money. We'll do it without you.
I used to work for a company that said, I used to work for an HVAC company, and I really like what the boss said. He always said, we want happy money. He said, if you go do a job for someone and the customer is not happy when you leave, don't take their money. He said, they're writing you a check, but they're mad. He said, just tell them, keep your money. And he always told the same thing. Tell people, our company only wants happy money. And you know what? Verity Baptist Church only wants happy money. You're writing that check, but you're like, I don't really want to get this. Honestly. We don't want it. We don't need it. Look, God's not broke.
Right.
And God's not a beggar.
Right.
God, you say, well, you can't do it without me. Look, with God, we can do whatever we want.
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
So honestly, if you're going to give, I hope you do it with a good attitude. Because the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. First Chronicles 29:9. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read this for you. They took an offering. David took an offering for the temple. And the Bible says this, then the people rejoiced, for they that offered willingly, because with perfect hearts they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. All throughout the Bible, you find when Moses was taking an offering for the tabernacle, over and over again, whenever you read about offerings in the Bible, this word keeps coming up over and over and over. Willingly, willingly, willingly. And I'm here to tell you, if you are willing to prove your love to God, if you are willing to invest into the ministry of Jesus Christ, if you are happy to do it, then we hope you will. But if you're not, honestly, I still love you, I'm still your friend, I'll still pray for you, but we're not interested. And I mean that. You should give willingly to God. You should give with a good attitude. But let me say this. You should give liberally to God. Remember that word liberally? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 1. You need to give more than you think you can give. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, you understand, Pastor, I'm going through a lot, I don't think I can give. Were these people not going through a lot? Great trial of affliction? That the abundance of their joy You know what I'm saying, Pastor? I'm very poor. Were these people not poor? And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, their generosity. I want you to notice this. Look at verse 3. It's an amazing verse.
For to their power, that word power there means their ability. For to their ability, I bear record, yea. Notice what he says here. And beyond their power. Beyond their ability. They were willing of themselves. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. You understand this? When you give to God, you ought to do it willingly. When you give to God, you ought to do it liberally. Now, please understand this. Giving liberally has little to do with the amount you give. When I'm saying you need to stretch yourself, when I'm saying you need to give more than you think you can give, when I'm saying, look, honestly, somebody put it like this. When you give an offering to God, it should hurt a little bit. It should hurt. But when I'm saying that, I'm not saying that all of you need to write a check for $5,000. It has nothing to do with the amount you give. Let me prove it to you. Are you there in Matthew? I'm sorry, did I say Matthew? I meant Mark. Mark chapter 12. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 12. Look at verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus, here we find a story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Look what it says. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So you got rich people throwing money into the offering. And there came a certain poor widow. Do you see that? And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. That's not much. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast, look what Jesus says, more in. Do you see that? Wait a minute. She only threw in two mites. That's all. I mean, they put more money in. But he says, look, she gave more than... Look what it says. Verse 43. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Why? Verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living. You can understand this. Now, sometimes people like to interpret this passage differently than I believe Jesus is teaching it. The problem is not that the rich people were giving large amounts of money. It's that they were giving money that was from their abundance. From what, you know, it's like they had this much money, they paid all their bills, and whatever was left over is like, well, that's the abundance. I'll give to God from that. They weren't really stretching themselves. They weren't really giving to their power and beyond their power. This little lady walks up, this widow, and she throws in everything she's got. Now look, some people like to hide behind this story and say, well, Pastor, I'm poor, so I'm going to be like the widow. Here's my two pennies. Here's the difference between you and the widow. All she had was two pennies. See, people are like, well, I'm poor. Okay, if you're poor, why don't you just give us everything you got? Well, I can't do that. Then you must not be as poor as you think. Because look, if all I got to my name is a dollar bill, here you go, God. See, we all have more money than we think. God has done more to bless us than we really want to admit. And we can all give. And I'm not here to tell you you got to give a certain amount. I'm here to tell you, give yourself to where you're stretching yourself a little bit. Give to your power and above your power. Give to where it hurts a little bit. Give liberally. Go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, real quickly, in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, look at verse number 17. Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 16, 17, here it's talking about giving towards the poor. It's the context, but it's about giving. Deuteronomy 16, 17, look what it says. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. I'm here to tell you, see, some of you, when we announce we're taking a special offering, immediately in your head you're like, I'm going to give this much. Look, the first number that pops in your head is usually not that big of a sacrifice. Honestly, that's why it popped in your head. I'm going to give $20. You got to take time to consider, how much could I give? Now look, I'm not saying give your money to where you can't pay your bills and you're out on the street. You're going to be calling me to help you. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, you ought to take time to consider, what can I give that would be stretching myself?
stretching my faith, hurting a little bit, without being irresponsible? What do I have power to give, and what would I be a little bit above my power? And it's not about the amount. It's not about how much you give. It's about your heart. It's always been about your heart. That's why the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why there are some of you that are sitting right now being just mad that pastor's talking about money. Because your heart is in a savings account somewhere. Your heart is in an IRA somewhere. Your heart is in a stock account somewhere. It's always been about your heart. I want to make this clear, and I hope you understand. I don't believe that it is good for people to give money and then tell people, this is how much I'm giving. I don't think you should do that. I think that's wrong. I was advised, when I first became a pastor, I was advised by a pastor. And he said, you know, people should not go around telling people how much money they are giving. But he said, a pastor should always tell their people how much they're going to give towards an offering. And I've made a policy of that. You think what you want about Pastor Roger Jimenez, but understand this. I will never ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do. If I ask you to go soul winning, guess what? You're going to see me soul winning. If I ask you to read 9 chapters a day, guess what? I'm reading 9 chapters a day. If I ask you to develop character, I'm going to be trying to develop character. If I'm asking you to give to the offering, I'm going to give to the offering. And now please understand this. I'm not telling you this to try to impress you or show up to you. I don't know if it'll be impressive to you or not. Some of you will look at, I'm going to tell you how much my wife and I have prayed about and decided how much we're going to give. Some of you may look at it and say, that's a lot. Some of you may look at it and say, that's not much. I'll tell you this, what we've determined to give towards the offering is definitely stretching us. But I want you to know that I am not asking you to do something that I'm not willing to do. My wife and I have committed on January 26th to give $1,500 towards the $10,000 offering.
Good.
And you say, is that stretching you? It's stretching me. Maybe it doesn't sound like a lot to you, but it hurts me a little bit. Say, well, why would you do that, Pastor? Because I believe in the ministry of Heritage Baptist.
Amen.
I believe in what we're doing here. Now look, that may be a lot to you. That may not seem like a lot to you. I don't really know. I don't really care. I'm telling you this. I'm doing my part, and I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not going to do. And here's what I would ask. When I came up, when I first thought we're going to have to take an offering, you know what? A number popped in my head. It wasn't 59. I thought to myself, you know, we need to stretch ourselves. We need to expand. I have a goal. Every time we take an offering, I want to increase how much we give to God. And that's what we came up with. Maybe you can match that. Maybe you can't. I'm just asking this. Would you stretch yourself? Would you give to your power and above your power? I said, number one, there's a role that giving plays in the Christian life. I said, number two, there is a role that the Christian plays in giving. Number three, there is a role that God plays in a Christian's giving. Did you keep your finger in Philippians? Go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to understand this. When you give to God, God promises to take care of you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Remember we saw this earlier. Paul was talking about giving financially. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Please understand this. I am not rich. I do not have... The church... I don't even work for the church full time. The church does not pay me a full time salary. I'll just say that for those of you that are thinking, all he wants is money. Oh, really? Is that why when we started the church, we started in our house? Is that why for the first 2 years I never took a paycheck? Is that why when I did start taking a paycheck, it was a part-time paycheck? I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not making any money off this. Look, I could quit the ministry and put as many hours as I do in this and go make a whole lot of money doing something else. And I care about people. I hope you care about people. I hope you care about seeing people saved.
Amen.
I hope you care about the ministry of God. Philippians 4:18, look what the Bible says. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, these things which were sent from you, talking about the offering you received. A reference to a special offering is the passage there. An odor of a sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's how he describes the offering. A sacrifice acceptable. Now look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of people like to quote that verse. People are going through struggles, and they're like, my God shall supply all need. But you got to understand this. That verse only applies if you're giving to God his rightful place. See, these people gave
They gave to their power, they gave above their power, and then Paul says, because you have put yourself in a situation where it may hurt you a little bit, is that I want you to know that God is going to supply all your needs. Now, you got to understand this, okay? Because I'm not a prosperity preacher. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not a health and wealth preacher. I'm not here to tell you, all you got to do is name it and claim it. All you God's going to make you rich. I don't know where you get that from the Bible, but it's not true. But I want you to understand this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. You say, well, when God wants to supply my needs, what exactly is he talking about? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. 1 Timothy 6, 8, the Bible says, and having food and raiment, the word raiment means clothes, and having food and raiment, look what it says, let us be there with content. The word content means happy, satisfied. Our society like to complain because I'm upside down on my house. I lost my house to bankruptcy. I don't have a vehicle. I don't have this. I don't have that. Do you have food?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have clothes? Oh, yeah. Then be happy.
Amen.
I was not having food and raiment. Let us be there with content. And when God says, by the way, when God says he's going to supply your needs, he's talking about your food and your raiment. And I promise you, there is nobody in the United States of America that cannot find food or raiment if they don't want it. God will supply your needs. I didn't say, throw in a check for $1,000 and God's going to give you $1,000,000. You never got that from this pastor. But he will supply your needs. Now you got to understand this though, okay? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. God will supply your needs, but I do believe this, and I want you to see this. Not only will God supply your needs, but I do believe that God blesses those who give.
Amen.
Let me just make it perfectly clear to you. You can't outgive God. You cannot. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 2. 2 Corinthians 8, 2. Now that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their, look what it says, liberality, their generosity, right? You got to understand this, okay? God will measure how liberal or how generous you are to determine how liberal or generous he will be to you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 6. I just want you to see this. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. That's what I meant. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 9:6. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Look what he says. But this I say, he which soweth, okay? The picture there is about, you know, sowing seed and then reaping from that. He that soweth, look what it says, sparingly. And what does the word sparingly mean? Here's what it means, cheap. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Why doesn't God bless me like I think he should? Why don't you sow like God thinks you should? But look what it says. He that soweth bountifully, that's a lot, shall reap also bountifully. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I know fundamental Baptists don't like to read these passages. You being a Pentecostal for reading the Bible? Look, the verses are in the Bible. God promises, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap also sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap also bountifully. Are you there in Luke chapter 6? Look at verse 38. Luke 6:38, the Bible says, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, look what he says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's a promise. Now look, it doesn't say give financially and God will give you financially. It doesn't say that. But God will bless you. You know that there's things that are more important in this life than finances? What if you gave to God financially and God blessed you by letting your children grow up to live for God? Would that not be a good trade-off?
Amen.
What if you gave to God financially and God blessed you with health? I'm not a health and wealth preacher. I'm just saying. What I'm not saying to you is this. You give to God and he's going to give you money. I didn't say that, but I will say this. You give to God and he'll give back to you more than the initial investment you gave to him.
Amen.
It may be money. It may be blessings. It may be the fact that your whole family gets saved. I don't know what it is. But it'll be more worth it than when you gave him.
Amen.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now notice how God gives. This is how you and I give.
Just like,
you know.
The picture here is of a cup, you know, like the what are those cups called that the ladies used to make? My wife bakes a lot. Measuring cup. Pictures of a measuring cup.
You know, you're going to take out your measuring cup of giving.
And here's how you and I like to do it. Like, just barely get it in there.
Here you go, God.
And notice how God gives. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. Look what he says. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. God, see, now look what it says. Shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. You take your measuring cup and you say, God, I'm going to give you this much. And God picks up that same measuring cup and says, well, I'm going to give to you using the same measurement that you gave to me. And the difference is, you kind of like, as quickly as possible, God says, I'm going to shake it. I'm going to press it down. He said, I'm going to make sure it's overflowing when I give back to you. You cannot outgive God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Go to Proverbs chapter number 11. This is the last passage I'll have you look at. Proverbs 11. People have this idea. People that have money, here's what most poor people think. I don't like you saying, here's what most poor people think.
I'm poor.
But here's what most poor people think. They think
people that have money, they can be generous because they have money.
Okay, the Bible teaches the exact opposite. The Bible actually teaches that people that are generous will have money. And one of the reasons that you may be broke is because you're cheap. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Like, show me a verse. Are you in Proverbs 11? Look at verse 24. Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is that scattering. The word scatter means they give away what they have. They just scatter. They just get rid of it. There is he that scattereth. And yet, look what it says, increaseth. You find a guy, you'll find a lady, and they're constantly just giving away, saying, here, I'll help you meet that need. Here, you need that. Here, let me help you with that. And they're just giving. And for some reason, it seems like they're just scattering. But yet, they're increasing. That's what the Bible says. Is that not what it says? There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. That's most rich people. Now, you and I look at rich people, and we think, oh, they scatter because they increase. But the Bible says, no, they increase because they scatter. Here's where you and I are. And there is that withholding. That's cheap. More than is meat. Now, you got to make note of that phrase there, more than is meat. The word meat means suitable. Okay? Here's what the Bible is saying. There is he that withholdeth more than they should withhold. Look, there's nothing wrong with being cheap. I know you like to use the politically correct term.
There's nothing wrong with being frugal.
I'm frugal. My wife and I buy clothes at the thrift store. We buy used vehicles. You can go pay the name brand. You know, I don't wear name brand clothes. If I have name brand clothes, somebody bought it for me, somebody gave it to me. But look, there is nothing wrong with being cheap. In fact, some of you need to learn how to be cheap with your finances. Start paying down some of your debt and saving some of your money and get yourself in a financial place so that you could be a blessing to someone. But here's the problem. When you're cheap, more than is meat. More than you should be. That's what he's talking about. They don't want to give anybody. Now look what it says. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but, look what it says, it tendeth to poverty. That's poor. The Bible teaches that if you are gracious, you'll increase. And if you are cheap, you'll be poor. That's what the Bible teaches. I always thought that rich people were generous because they had money. No, they probably have money because they're generous. Mm-hmm. Verse 25. The liberal soul. That's not talking about a political party. That's talking about giving. Gracious. Look what it says. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You cannot give God. You cannot give more than God wants to give to you. So here's the question. And here, you say, Pastor Jimenez, when you preach a sermon, what is your goal? Here's my only goal. Honestly, here's my only goal. That you would spend the next... You say, well, I've already decided how much I'm going to give. And maybe that's what God wants you to give. But I would ask that you spend the next 7 days asking God, and just saying, God, what would you have me to do? Not everybody's supposed to give the same amount. It's to your ability. But you should stretch yourself. You should give above your power. Seek to give an amount that honestly hurts a little bit. And when you do that, you'll prove your love for God. I just want to make this clear. You say, well, Pastor Jimenez, you preach a whole sermon on giving. I don't do it much. But honestly, and I try to say this as kindly as I can. If you do not want to give, Pastor Jimenez, can I come to this church and never put anything in the offering plate? You can do whatever you'd like, and we're still going to love you. We're still going to pray for you. Are you condoning it? No, I think you're in sin, and you need to get right with God. I think you're robbing from God. And I'm still going to love you. Not robbing from me. You rob from me, then we're going to have some issues. You want to rob God? Hey, God is more patient than I am. I'm talking to those who say, you know, Pastor, I want to give. I want to prove my love. I'm asking you, would you pray? Would you stretch yourself a little bit? Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Thank you for allowing us to be able to study Scripture. Father, I pray that people would take the sermon in the spirit in which it was given. I am not trying to guilt people into giving an amount. They need to give what God has placed on their heart. And Lord, I pray that they would just seek that. I pray that they would pray about it, that they would ask God to bless them, to help them. And when they do give, Lord, I do pray that you'd meet their needs. Father, this community needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray you'd bless us. Pray you'd help us. Help us to be gracious people. Paul said, I spent and be spent. Lord, I pray you'd help us have a good offering next Sunday, whether the 10,000 comes in or not. God is always good. Lord, I pray you'd bless us, you'd help us. I pray your blessing would be upon these dear people. In your precious name I pray. Amen.